aquí. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 27. I was thinking about last week, maybe more than 7 days. And also at the same time, I had studied this chapter some time back, over and over again. And I have a thought from this chapter. Have you ever been in a place where you felt inconvenient to be in a place, and you moved on to another one, and it became worse than the previous one? Yes, it is possible, and that's what we call it as from the frying pan to the fire. Right. So something similar to that happened in Acts chapter 27, and that is one thought. And parallel to that is the sure assurance that we have in our walk with God. Many times, many things we do not know, and it says in, I think, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, "He who prepared us for this very purpose is God." And we know that it is God who has prepared us for this purpose. And not just that, and that verse also says that He gave the Spirit of God as a pledge in our lives. And these are the two thoughts that I want to quickly share. And in Acts chapter 27, and the incident that happened, people wanted to avoid inconvenience, and they landed up in a place which is worse than the previous one. Acts chapter 27 is a story how Apostle Paul is getting to Rome. And before we do that, you see the assurance of God in Apostle Paul's life. And let's read Acts 28 verse 14. This is Luke writing, and then we found some brethren, and we were invited to stay with them for 7 days, and thus we came to Rome. So we came to Rome. So that's what Luke says. It is not just the journey that he is talking about. Oh, we all came to Rome. It was a beautiful place. No, he was talking about, in one sense, the plan of God and how God purposed Apostle Paul for that reason. And if you trace back in the book of Acts, and it all began in Apostle Paul saying in Acts chapter 19, and just before the uproar that broke, and Acts chapter 19 verse 21, let's look at that verse. "After these things were finished, Paul purposed in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. After he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, saying, 'After I have been there,'" what he says? "I must also see Rome." And this is Apostle Paul talking. You know, after that what happened? A great gathering gathered together. There was a great commotion, and people did not know why they gathered. But nevertheless, he said, "I must see also Rome." And let's trace that down, the word Rome, in the book of Acts. Let's come to Acts 23, verse 11. This is the scene where he goes to Jerusalem, and he's been arrested. And not just that, he has been scourged. Not just that, he has been buffeted, and he has been bruised, and he is inside the prison. probably in the night. Acts 23 verse 11. But on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, "Take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also." So when Luke says that thus we came Rome, it is not just, you know, he is talking about we took this bus, that bus, and the details of life. And he is probably, you know, threading the very purpose of God. And Apostle Paul saying, "I must also see Rome." And then he lands up in Jerusalem, and he has been scourged, he has been bruised. And it is the cry of a missionary. And it is the cry of a soul winner. It is the cry of a person whose heart is after God. And he is in the prison, and God appears to him in that night, and he says, "You must be in Rome to witness." And let's trace down the word Rome. 25 verse 12. This is the first one happened in Ephesus. "I must also go to Rome." The second one happened in Jerusalem. And the third one is happening in Caesarea. And 25 verse 12. "Then when Festus had conferred with his council, he answered, 'And you have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go.'" In other words, to Rome you shall go. And then let's come down to 28 verse 14. "So we found some brethren, and we were invited to stay with them for 7 days. Thus we came to Rome." Isn't it awesome that how God led Apostle Paul from the time he said those statements in Ephesus, right before the uproar that took place, the entire city gathered together. And it was in the heart of Apostle Paul, and he carried through prayer. And God beautifully led him with a lot of confusions and shipwreck and all that happened. But nevertheless, God beautifully brought him. And I would like to, this is a believer's life. And we may be in confusion, we may be in trouble in this world. You will have a tribulation. But nevertheless, he who has prepared us for this cause is God. And God has given us a pledge, that is the Spirit of God himself. But the unbeliever, this is what really marveled in the last week. They have no clue about what is going on in their life. They are totally tossed to and fro. They have looking after their wealth, education, security, money, name you whatever you want. It says in Psalm chapter 10, "In all their thoughts there is no God." So God has really privileged us by saving us, by beautifully leading us through his grace. And it is really marvelous. Look at the unbeliever's life. You know, unbeliever's life is not like that. "I must also see Rome," and then follow through that statement. But the unbeliever is tossed to and fro. They have no clue about what is going on in their lives. And look at the way they take the decision in a crisis. They take the decision in a crisis by looking at the circumstances, by seeking the counsel that is outside of God. That is what happened in Acts chapter 27. And we know that in Acts chapter 27, Apostle Paul is taken along with some other prisoners to Rome. And he has been given over under the custody of Julius. He is the centurion. In Acts chapter 27 verse 3. "The next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul with consideration and allowed him to go to his friends and receive care." And then it goes, and how in verse 6, "Then the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy, and he put us aboard. And when we had sailed slowly for a good many days, and with difficulty had arrived off Cnidus, since the wind did not permit us to go farther, we sailed under the shelter of Crete, off Salmone. And with difficulty sailing past it, we came to a place called Fair Heavens, near which the city of Lassie. When considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them and said to them, "Men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also for our lives." So they are on their way to Rome, and at one point in time, in a place called Fair Heavens, an apostle Paul is saying, "I think we should stay in this place, because it is going to be big trouble for us, and not just for the ship, but also for our lives." And look at verse 11. This is how the world is. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul, because the harbor was not suitable for wintering. So they found that place to be very inconvenient, because we can't stay in the winter here. And they also took the opinion, and the pilot and the captain of the ship said, "I think we should go." But Apostle Paul says, "I think we must stay here in this place." And because the harbor was not suitable for wintering, the majority reached a decision to put out to sea from there if somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. The problem here is that they did not want to stay in that place because it is not suitable for the winter. It is inconvenient. Let's get to a better place. And in verse 12, the majority came to the decision. Apostle Paul said, "No, we should not go." And the centurion consulted the pilot and the captain of the cargo ship, which was transported from Egypt to Rome. And they decided, "I think this place is not good. In my opinion and in my experience, according to the counsel of the book and all those stuffs, I don't think this place is not suitable for winter. I think we should go." And they took the vote, and it was like 3-1, pilot, captain, and the centurion, and here is Apostle Paul. And the majority wins, and they decided to go from that place. Look here in verse 13. When a moderate south wind came up, supposing that they had attained their purpose. When the south wind blowed softly, they all thought that they have achieved their purpose. Probably all the three of them looked at Apostle Paul and smiled. "Did I not tell you everything is going to be all right? See the wind. I think you are wrong." And then what happened? Supposing that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete close inshore. But before very long, I like that verse in verse 14, before very long, they rushed down from the land of violent wind. And there is a violent wind that came. This is how the world is. Okay, majority wins, and let's take a decision. And even a soft wind can actually soothe them. And I was thinking about the journey of Apostle Paul from the time he decided in his prayer, and many scholars have many things to say, but I would like to see the missionary with a mission and naming a city that I need to go to Rome. And the Lord himself convinced him that you must be there in the Rome to bear witness when he was in the prison in Jerusalem. And then he goes to Festus, and Festus says that thou must go to Jerusalem. And then finally, thus we came. This is our journey. And our journey is not like, you know, so we all come together and what do you say, what do you say, what do you say? And this place is not convenient for me. Okay, let's move to another place. And suddenly the soft wind comes. Did I not tell you that? Oh, that is how we will be. That is what the world is thinking. And Apostle Paul, who was a prisoner in that ship, became the captain because the Lord was with him. And later on you see how he takes in charge of the entire situation, and he says that the angel of the Lord told me there will not be any loss of lives. That is what we are in this world. And this week, last week, I really marveled, and many students were coming to counseling, and they are all so-called intelligent students, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says they are fools because they don't know the Lord, and they have absolutely no clue about what is going on in their lives, and their decision makings are all, okay, come, what do you say, what do you say, what do you say, okay, so put the hands up, and five hands go up, and one hand go, I think we should go, see the situation, and this and everything. That is how the decision is made. I think centurion must have been stuck for the first time looking at Apostle Paul. He was not in a hurry as to like going to Rome, I think we should press on somehow before the wind, but he said, no, I think he should stay in. That is the discernment of Apostle Paul. And I was also thinking the story of the younger prophet and the young prophet and the older prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13. And here is the man of God who is not named, and he goes and he accomplishes the message that God has given. And God says that you shall go back to Judah. But this man in 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 14, he is in a place where he shouldn't be. And he is sitting under the oak tree. And then that's when the soft wind came. Probably, you know, he thought it is, I don't know, I'm just speculating that inconvenience of the journey. I think this is inconvenient. I must stay in this place. And the older prophet comes and he says to him that, you know, you must stay in my place. And God also spoke to me. And then he goes. And the soft wind, suddenly there is a rushing wind. And he has been eaten, not eaten, he has been killed by the lion, but the lion is looking at. So sometimes we as believers could also be in that place, moved by the opinions of the people, not governed by the word of God. And the lack of peace and all those stuff. So I really like this verse in Philippians chapter 4. And Apostle Paul is saying that what you have learned and received, it is not just the mental lesson that I'm talking about, it is the take-home thing that you have taken in your heart, and what you have seen and heard from me, and practice these very things, and the God of peace will be with you. I think Apostle Paul was governed by that, and he was not swayed by the storm, he was not swayed by the inconvenience in the place. But whereas he could see the world being governed by all these things. At times, the believers could also be like that, swayed by the opinion of men and not being governed by the word of God. I think we are in a privileged place, and we are receiving what God is giving to us, and the conviction that comes from the pulpit and the conviction that is communicated. We have our conviction. We have our faith as conviction before God in Romans 14. And our journey is like, no, so we are thinking about this. We are praying. I think maybe Pastor said that statement years back. We must also go to Calcutta, right? But how that happens is beautiful. And in that he says right before the uproar that is going to take place. And he is not governed by the uproar in Ephesus. And he is making a statement, I must go to Rome. But how that took place from Ephesus to Jerusalem, Jerusalem to Caesarea, and then the shipwreck, and then finally they are greeted by the brethren, and thus we came to Rome. That is our journey. Our journey is not like, no, so what does the weather say? What does the calendar say? What does the lucky verse say? No, what do people say? What is the majority? And our God is very specific in dealing. But there could be a lot of trials, there could be a lot of tribulations, could be a lot of shipwreckness, there could be a lot of scourging, bruising, but nevertheless, the leading of God is very, very, very specific in our lives. And he governs us by his word. Amen? So let's pray.